Oh, hello. I didn't see you come in there. It's the HBO boys. Today we're talking again about WandaVision, episode 6, Halloween Spooktacular. I'm James, and I'm joined again by Chad.
I never know what to say in these openings. Is there, like, something that I should say?
No. You don't even have to say anything. You can just cough.
I will say nothing from now on.
Of course, I've seen episodes of I Love Lucy. I've seen episodes of Bewitched. I've seen episodes of what, like the Mary Tyler Moore, whatever shows they've been parodying the last couple episodes. But right. I have probably seen every episode of Malcolm in the Middle like twice,
right?
Because that was such a ubiquitous millennial sitcom, and it's not even like a show that like you and I or any of our friends would sit around and hey, did you see the new episode of Malcolm in the Middle? Because it was that ubiquitous, where it's just, like, taken for granted that everyone had seen it already, you know, in the same way that The Simpsons was.
Right, but The Simpsons, I remember watching it and then talking about it the next day. Malcolm in the Middle was just kind of always there, and yeah. I don't think I realized how much of an impact that show had until way later. You know, like, watching the intro, I realized, like, it really was that popular a show.
And so right from the get-go on WandaVision Episode 6, it's insane how well they aped the style of Malcolm in the Middle.
Yeah.
Like, not just the musical cues, like, things like the shot composition and people's right. facial expressions, like, the cutaway gags. It was so perfect. Like, clearly, yeah. They probably have people of our generation working on the show who are probably huge fans of Malcolm in the Middle.
I almost wonder if the truth is that that style is actually really easy to replicate, and it's actually like a really like an unsophisticated way to film something, and we just thought mm-hmm. that it was groundbreaking because it was the first time that we'd seen it when Malcolm in the Middle came out, because it was so perfect.
And then Vision and Wanda are like doing a Hal Lois thing. They don't actually have a lot of time together in the episode, but they are doing like a Hal Lois scene when they are, and like Wanda is clearly doing like a Lois impression, her very first line, and then like Vision is doing a little bit of a Hal impression, and I don't know, it was a lot of fun for me. I assume in the same way that like if you were a huge Bewitched fan, like episode 2, you probably felt the same way.
Right, yeah.
So this episode starts with the intro sequence, and it's not quite as good as "You're not the boss of me now," but it's going for that. And it's like about Tommy and Billy. And the lyrics are a little strange, and again, I don't know if the lyrics mean anything.
They must.
But a little bit seem like they're signposting something. And then also, it seems as though, like, the progression from 80s to early aughts has happened, but this is, like, the next day from the character's perspective.
So do you want to talk at all about the lyrics in the opening? Because yep. I think the lyrics are important. I actually have them pulled up here. And it's the lyrics are, "Don't try to fight the chaos. Don't question what you've done. Some days it's all confusion. Easy come, easy go. But if it's all illusion, sit back, enjoy the show. Let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Through each distorted day, let's keep it going. Let's keep it going. Though there may be no way of knowing who's coming by to play." Which is hinting at
something's coming.
Yeah, something is coming.
This episode is kind of playing more into the theme that was established in episode 5, that like now Wanda is more or less completely aware of what's going on, but she's just rolling with it because she's happier with this.
Right.
The very first scene, we get the two kids and they seem a little bit scared of Pietro, which is interesting, particularly the psychic brother is, like, a little scared of Pietro. So does that mean something? You know, is he possibly a danger to them?
Right, well, we've seen that the kids, they exist outside of the illusion. Like, they know that Wanda is super powerful and they are powerful themselves. So, yeah, I hadn't really considered their reaction to him. Especially because quickly in this episode, they kind of start looking up to him like the fun Uncle Joey.
Right, but one of his very first lines at the end of episode 5 is like, "Do I get to come and hug my sister to death or what?" Like, so is he a danger to them? I'm wondering.
Oh.
So they have some antics with him. Mom comes down and she's dressed as Golden Age comics version of Hex or the Scarlet Witch. Pretty good costuming.
I don't know what you're talking about. She was an authentic Sokovian fortune teller.
Well, that, and this is what's weird, because she dresses up like her Golden Age comic character, and so does Vision, and so does Quicksilver.
And so do the kids as well.
And then later on, Wanda references Kick-Ass. It's like, are we breaking the fourth wall as a gag, or is Wanda seeing through dimensions? Like, has she seen Kick-Ass? Like,
so I meant to check on this. I'm sorry. Do we know which studio owns Kick-Ass?
I don't know. The comics, I believe, are Dark Horse. I could be wrong about that. I'm not sure about the studio.
Marv Films, not Marvel Films.
Marv Films. Okay, but no way related to Fox or Disney.
Apparently not. Interesting.
But we are getting ahead of ourselves. So Vision comes down after her and she's like, oh, I'm so glad you decided to play along and get dressed up. He's like, well, all my other clothes had magically vanished, so.
Right, says the character who can, one of his powers is generating clothing.
And it's very much intimated through Paul Bettany's fantastic performance here that Vision is playing along now.
Yeah.
He's going to play the role of the sitcom dad in order to put Wanda at ease while he secretly investigates what's happening. There's a moment here where she's like, oh, I can't wait to go trick-or-treating. He's like, oh, I've got neighborhood watch. And she's like, that's not what you're supposed to say.
That wasn't in the script.
It seems like she's going to change his mind or insist that he comes with them when Pietro, who is now kind of like a real wild card in the story, is just like, no, it's cool, let him go, I'll come with you. So it's like, what is his game here?
So again, we're getting ahead of ourselves a bit, but it's revealed later on that he knows exactly what's going on in the world, or is at least aware of what's going on in the world. I think that he was just trying to find an opportunity to get Wanda alone so that he could kind of confront her about it, and not confront her in a malicious way, because again, we'll get to it. He's almost impressed by what she's doing, and I've got some kind of thoughts on that. But let's get back on track, sorry.
And at some point, like, he puts on his Golden Age Quicksilver costume, and so does, sorry, is it Tommy or Billy?
it's Tommy or Billy.
Puts one on as well. And then we cut back to what's going on with S.W.O.R.D. The Hex is turning bright red, because this is immediately after they had their confrontation with Wanda, and there's a big fight. Monica's like, you completely fucked over the plan when you tried to shoot her. Hayward's like, hey, I'm trying to neutralize the threat here. Monica brings up an interesting point. She's like, we don't even know what will happen to the people inside should Wanda suddenly die.
Right, like, which is a good, really good point.
There's a very strange line here where Hayward's like, oh, I knew you're a big softie for superheroes. Everyone knows your bestie is Carol Danvers. Which Monica does not really refute that.
Right.
And then he also is like, I'm glad you weren't here for your mom's final years of life, because you shouldn't do the job that I do. Which is like, wow, man.
Yeah, I know. Really? Like, that was, what, 2 weeks ago?
Right, for her. So, like, you know, there's a way to have a fight. In a professional sense, you can disagree. You can even fire someone in a classy way. But he's not worried about that.
It does kind of hint, though, that maybe some shit did go down.
Right. He maybe killed Monica's mom.
Right. Like, something, we're going to learn something about that 5-year gap.
There is a way to, like, this happened. There was, like, a former KGB guy who turned against Russia and moved to the UK. And, like, the way that they assassinated him was they dropped a teeny tiny particle of, like, radioactive material in his tea, and he died of cancer, like, a month later. So it is possible, like, he could have shot the CIA cancer gun at Monica's mom or something.
Jesus.
That's dark.
Yeah, a bit.
Back inside the Hex, they're doing the trick-or-treat thing. There is a, again, either a throwaway line red herring or a foreshadowing where Pietro's like, wreak havoc, demon spawn, which I, you know, picked up on because, as you told me, apparently in the comics, these kids are, like, children of Satan.
Literally, they're pieces of the devil's soul walking around in artificial bodies. And that is how they are given life. Because Wanda didn't have the power to create life, so some life was taken from the devil.
So, again, to me, this is just a distraction. This is just to drive the comic book fans crazy, but I could be wrong about that. I feel like if we are 6 episodes out of 9 in, and, like, I feel like the pieces are being set up for a self-contained resolution where, like, the devil doesn't need to show up, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, at this point, they would really need to make it work. Because 3 episodes left, I'm worried they're going to pull a villain out of their ass, and it's going to feel unsatisfying.
Right, whereas if it turns out Agnes is the villain, then that's, like, organic. Or if it turns out Wanda is the ultimate villain, that would be organic, too. At this point, if they pull out Mephisto or the monster from Doctor Strange, it's like, okay, well, that's going to feel like an ass pull.
Right. And my original theory where Dottie was Mephisto, I mean, I'm just going to go ahead and say that that's just patently wrong.
I mean, is Dottie coming? Like, where is Dottie?
I don't know. They built her up like she was going to be a major character in the show, and then she just hasn't shown up since. I think she was a background character, just like setting up Halloween decorations, but that was it.
Wanda still doing a Lois impression, Lois from Malcolm in the Middle. Herb's doing his duty for the neighborhood watch, and he drops that actually, like, oh no, Vision's not on duty tonight, which Wanda seems a little bit, like, annoyed by, but she doesn't have that much of a reaction. She's like, how odd, like, why would he lie?
Right. And then he asks her, is everything okay? Like, he breaks character, the same way that we've seen Agnes break character in the past, and asks her, like, do you want me to change anything? Is everything okay? Is something wrong? And he drops it so, like, it didn't seem prompted. It just kind of seemed like a check-in.
Yeah, like, not even a big deal. It's like, oh, is there something about reality you're not happy with? Should I put in a work order?
Right, right. Which was bizarre. And I think that it's like so 2 things. One, the fact that Herb didn't know, sorry, the fact that Herb had to tell Wanda that Vision wasn't in the neighborhood watch that day means that she isn't in full control of all the people in the town, because if she was really controlling them all, then she would presumably know all the things that they know. So the fact that he's giving her new information about Vision.
Right. And also, why would she be going to Herb to have something changed?
Right.
Theoretically. Like, he offers that and she says no. So.
Bizarre.
Yeah. You and I haven't been talking about the commercials because to me, those are just like throwaway gag references to stuff in Wanda's character timeline from the MCU. But this commercial really wasn't.
It was disturbing.
So, just very briefly, like, there's a kid on a desert island, and he's starving, so a shark brings him Yo Magic Yogurt, but he can't get it open, so he sits there until he dies of starvation and turns into a skeleton. And the shark's like, Yo Magic, it's yogurt for survivors or something. So, if I don't see that this is a direct reference to anything in Wanda's life, so I'm wondering, is this like a parable? Like, magic seems like the solution to your problems, but will ultimately, like, lead you to die? Like,
Or I kind of saw it as maybe these commercials aren't just about the tragedies in her life, but they're, like, reflections on how she feels about the tragedy. Like, in the last one, it was an accident. You know, you spill something, you wipe it up. That is referencing a time where she had an accident. She tried to contain a bomb and she messed up and killed a bunch of people. This one, I think maybe she's starting to, internalize the effect of her powers. You know, like she thinks it's a solution, but maybe she like deep down is thinking like maybe it's not going to solve her problem. She's going to end up hurting herself and others by relying on it.
Well, I'll talk about this more at the end, but I'm sure that this is probably foreshadowing for something that is not clear to us yet.
Yeah. The devil.
So we find Pietro and Wanda are like leaving a movie theater where they were watching The Incredibles and The Parent Trap, which are two movies from different eras, but I don't know, showing back to back on Halloween for some reason. Whatever.
Well, it's a movie about a superhero family and a movie about, what was The Parent Trap about?
Two twins, their parents divorced when they were born and they were raised not knowing of one another's existence. And then later they find out that they are actually twins. And so they set their parents up to like meet and remarry, put their family back together.
Well, I mean, that could be a reference to, you know, Quicksilver 2.0 and Wanda being twins, but never having met.
Right.
In this iteration of Quicksilver.
Right. Well, they're twins and they're Wanda's kids are twins. So there's a lot of twin energy going on. And they're both also, I think, movies that are on Disney Plus. So.
Right.
There's a very strange conversation next between Pietro and Wanda where she's asking him, like, why don't you look the same? Why don't you sound the same? Why are you here if you're dead? And he's like, oh, the details are fuzzy. The last thing I remember, I was getting shot in the street for no reason, which that's not what happened to you. And then I felt that you needed me, so I came to you, which is a very strange story. And I feel like in the same vein as the performance that we got from Vision earlier, and we'll talk about next, like Agnes's performance, I felt like Evan Peters' performance here was like Pietro trying to deceive Wanda somehow.
He's
lying.
He has knowledge, and he's trying to use the fact that he is Quicksilver to like get something from Wanda.
And well, he also seems to be plugging her for information, like saying like, "Oh, I think you've got a really cool setup here. By the way, where do the kids go when they're not in the scene? Do you keep them in like suspended animation?"
Isn't it interesting that last episode there we had Vision directly said, how come there's no kids in Westview? And then this episode is Halloween and suddenly there's kids everywhere.
Right. Well, it seems to me like that is Wanda actively trying to address Vision's concerns and keep him like gaslit, basically.
Right. Yeah. He knows what's going on. He can see through the illusions. He's asking questions of her. She doesn't really seem threatened by him, at least not yet. So what do you think? Do you think he's a plant? Do you think he's what do you think his story is like? What's he who sent him?
I have no idea what his deal is, but I think that he is bad news. Like, he is part of whatever malevolent force is at work here.
I've heard some theories that Doctor Strange might have sent him to try to get to Wanda, which I think is a bit far-fetched, but I think that what I believe personally is I think that he is the same Quicksilver from the X-Men universe, but he was implanted with just enough knowledge to be able to pretend that he is the Pietro from this universe.
I have also been seeing a lot of Pietro is Mephisto theories. It's like everybody is Mephisto. That's in the end.
Is Mephisto.
So while all this is happening, Vision is on the other side of town. And this answers something that you and I were discussing last episode, where like Wanda says, like, oh, well, how could I possibly keep everyone going about their day, going through their lives? Like, how would I even have the power to do that? And here we see that actually the citizens of Westview who are not in Wanda's immediate vicinity and who are not relevant to like whatever's happening in the sitcom are just kind of frozen in time, standing around doing whatever they had been doing last.
On loop.
And one woman is like trying to hang a Halloween decoration like while crying a single tear again, as we found out, in pain.
Yeah, see, that
it hurts
that was
to be in the hex.
Really hard to watch. Because, like, you know what's going on. you know she's in pain, you know that she's self-aware, but just stuck in that loop. So do you think that they've always been stuck like this, or do you think that because she expanded the world to include all these kids, that maybe, you know, she had to make sacrifices somewhere?
Yeah, it's hard to say. And I think, like, we will find out, like, she can more or less, like, disappear people when they're not needed and then blink them back when they need them. Like,
right.
Who knows?
Or put them to sleep.
Yeah, Pietro intimates as much. He's like, so what, do you have him just sleeping in bed when you don't need him? That's fine, whatever. I think you're doing this. He makes some remark like, you know, this is the most ethically conscionable way to control an entire town. Right. Like,
you're keeping families together.
Yeah, so he's clearly like, he's like very amoral, Pietro's character, regardless of what's going on with him.
But yeah, unless he has an agenda, unless he's acting to get to an end.
Right. So some other stuff is happening back at S.W.O.R.D. headquarters. Darcy, there's like a very cheesy like hacking scene where she's like, I'm going to hack into Hayward's computer from over here. And
right. I'm through the firewall.
Yeah, she's hacker man and she's hacking. And we find out that like on Hayward's computer, he's been tracking Vision's location with a satellite which tracks vibranium.
So real quick, I want to say one thing about the hacking again. She's an astrophysicist.
Right. No, she's a jack of all trades.
Apparently. She can hack into elite security computers.
No, she also has a PhD in software engineering. So.
Ah, of course. So software engineering and astrophysics.
There was a funny, I think it was a tweet by Kat Dennings last week where she's like, is this sad or is this cute? I just found out that Darcy was a character from the comics, like, before I played her. Never knew that. Like,
was she? I didn't know that. I thought that she was.
Yeah.
I thought she was made up for the movies.
Apparently, she's a Thor character.
Hmm. So you mentioned that that S.W.O.R.D. is tracking the vibranium signature of Vision. Do you think it's noteworthy that they don't seem to be paying attention to Wanda's location or to really to any of the people in the town? They made a point that they're only looking at Vision. Do you think there's something to that? It kind of harkens back to your sentient weapon argument where they just wanted to make Vision into a super weapon and Wanda's either interrupting it or is being used to make more of them.
Right, or Wanda's being used to repair Vision.
Right.
To, like, put him back in the field.
Interesting.
Because I don't know what benefit it is to them to know where Vision is in the Hex. Like, why would that make a difference?
Right. And, I mean, I guess it could be that they just only have the technology to track him. But no, because we saw all the other people. There were blips for all the other people, but there wasn't a special blip for Wanda. I don't know.
They happen to notice through this tracking software that, like, Vision is very close to the edge of the Hex. And then we zoom in back into Vision on the Hex, and he turns from his Halloween costume into his normal superhero attire, and he comes across Agnes. And this is a scene where I thought Agnes is just lying through her teeth about everything, because everyone else is frozen and cannot reply. When he comes across Agnes, she's only, like, slightly frozen and can still speak, which, to me, either indicates that she has some kind of ability or this is all just an act.
Right. And then he uses his Vision, You're Awake powers, and she comes back and she asks if Vision's here to help and if he's, because he's an Avenger, and Vision says, what's an Avenger? So he really has no memory before Westview. And this is when he's told that he's dead, and he takes it pretty well.
And he asks, why doesn't she just leave? And she says that Wanda won't allow us to even think about leaving. And she starts to freak out and scream like, dad, dad, dad. And so he puts her back into zombie mode because she seemed happier that way.
So my theory here, and I think that I'm going to get some points here. Originally, I said that Agnes created the Hex, and Wanda, you know, slowly realized that she had some kind of control until now. You know, the fact that the Hex is turning red, I think, is symbolic of the fact that she's taking over the Hex completely. And at this point, I think what we're seeing is the reason why Agnes has some, you know, motor functions still, even though she's so close to the edge, is because she's, you know, resistant to Wanda's magic because she's magical herself. And then I think that when she's woken up, she's playing the part of a victim trapped in the hex. And she's like, I need to pretend like I, you know, oh no, you're dead. What's an Avenger? You know, like, I think that is her acting.
Yes. And I think perhaps like this whole scene was her trying to get Vision killed.
You think so?
Yeah. Cause that is the result of his interactions with her.
You think that
she's like, you're Avenger. Are you here to help me? He's like, I do want to help. But the next thing he does is like try to leave and almost gets killed.
Well, wasn't that his goal to begin with, was to try to leave Westview, and that's why he was on the outskirts of town?
I don't know. The very next thing he does after speaking with her is like almost get killed trying to leave. So I think she was trying to spur him on to do that.
Hmm.
I think that like they want Wanda more isolated, less powerful than she is, and removing Vision, kind of replacing him with Quicksilver, who is probably does not have her best interests at heart, just gives them more of the upper hand on her, perhaps.
Well, to your theory about Vision and the sentient weapon argument, maybe she was trying to push him to the edge of the hex, not because she wants him dead, but because she wants the Sword Director to get him. You know, maybe they're working together.
She wants him out. That she wants. He's trying to get him, perhaps. Yeah.
Yeah. And so when he does, you know, break out of this barrier, I fully expected to see him all grayed out again, like as he was as a corpse, and maybe even like going limp as he passed out. But he wasn't.
He came out normal.
He came out normal, and he came out with the Mind Stone intact. So, I mean, he's being pulled back in. So there's like he's bound to the hex in some way. And he starts like kind of disintegrating and falling apart. But this and one other thing that we didn't mention earlier have me thinking that he's not a walking corpse. He actually is repaired in the hex. Yes.
I was about to get to that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because earlier we see Pietro. Wanda has one of her weird little freakouts where she sees Pietro with bullet holes in him, and he's all, you know, he looks like a corpse, but it's not her Pietro. It's
right. This guy did not die that way.
He did not die that way, which means that when we see those moments, it's not the illusion.
It's not
breaking.
It's not real. Yeah.
It's she's seeing that in her head.
Right. Yeah. I absolutely agree with you. I no longer think he is zombie Vision.
So he actually has been reanimated, and
yeah, his material has been reconstituted the same way Monica's clothes have.
And I gotta wonder, does that mean that she's recreated the Mind Stone?
Well, I gotta wonder, like, does that mean, is Vision now back in the MCU? Is this how he is resurrected after Infinity War?
See, I don't think I still don't think he's gonna make it out of this. I think that this is gonna end with him being murdered because he, for whatever reason, tells Wanda that like the kids can't survive, there's going to be something bad about the kids, and Wanda says, no, you're wrong, I need, you know, these are my children, these are your children, and in order to protect them she has to kill him, which is what's going to cause her to break, like really go mad.
Right. Perhaps. All right, but we did just jump over a ton of stuff.
We did, yeah.
Just to go through it very quickly. We go back to Monica outside the Hex with Jimmy and Darcy, and Darcy says that she's taking a look at Monica's blood work from the other day, and this is directly something you said you did not want to be the case.
Yeah.
Apparently, going in and out of the Hex twice has now altered Monica's DNA or whatever and turned her into a superhero, perhaps.
The superhero story told thousands of times. You walk through a barrier, you walk out of a barrier, and you have superpowers. It's the lamest way to get powers.
It's very really lame. It's very lame. And a friend of mine was like, oh, so that's it? The people in Westview, they're going to be the mutants. All the kids in Westview are going to be the first mutants. They're going to be the first generation of the X-Men.
Huh. I mean, I don't hate that. I think it's stupid that it's like walking through the barrier, but if that's how they, I mean, I don't know. That doesn't bother me so much for some reason.
Well, it's interesting. Like perhaps the Hex is a, what, let's say it again, sentient weapon machine where you throw people in, you pull them out, you got a superhero on your hands.
Well, I don't know. If it is, that's an accident. Because if that's the case, then the director would not be treating Monica as much as like garbage as he is. Because he would know like she's going to manifest.
We get the scene with Wanda and Pietro, the one that you mentioned, where she sees like corpse Pietro. And we get a sort of a bomb dropped from Wanda, because at this point she has absolutely no reason to lie to Pietro, because he has more or less like accepted every aspect of the situation and says he supports her.
Right.
And so we assume that she's telling the truth here when she says she does not remember entering the Hex. And she doesn't remember making a decision to like grab Vision's corpse or do anything magical with it. She just remembers feeling empty and alone and total nothingness and then waking up in the Hex.
Right.
So that to me opens the door for a ton of possibilities.
Yeah, I mean,
this could be not even our Wanda.
Oh, shit.
Right?
Oh, come on.
Because that, like, Pietro also is like, oh, I remember slipping into nothingness and then winding up here.
Wait, did we see? I didn't see the last like two or three X-Men movies. Is Wanda in those movies? She's not. I know that in Days of Future Past, it was referenced that he had a little sister.
Yeah, but... and he also makes a little bit of an allusion to like, oh, yeah, that's cool. My dad was actually German too, but I never met him. He says that like to Magneto, and Magneto's like, huh, interesting.
So maybe the parent trap is more important than we think. It's about parent not knowing that your parents were your parents. Maybe we're gonna bring Magneto.
Oh yeah, these are the twins separated from birth. Ha ha ha.
Ah, interesting.
That could be nothing though, for all we know.
right. That...
We cut back to Monica, Darcy, and Jimmy, and they're watching Vision on the map as he tries to exit the Hex. And we get the scene that Chad mentioned earlier. He's like walking through the barrier. He's being sucked back in as if by like explosive decompression, like he's having the shit ripped off of him as it flies back into the Hex. So he's not allowed to leave the Hex. Even if he can kind of force it by his own will, he will be like dragged back in. And the process of being dragged back in is tearing him apart and killing him, or at least gravely wounding him. And we already saw very quickly there was a scene where like either Tommy or Billy got speedster powers, which I think is his power in the comics.
Wiccan. Wiccan is the magic guy. He's Billy, and Tommy is Speed. Lame name. His name is Speed. Wiccan and Speed.
So Tommy is dressed like Doctor Strange, and he starts to like manifest his ESP powers, and he's like, Dad's in trouble, he's dying. Very strange here. Pietro's like, what, are you worried he's gonna die? He's already dead. And then Wanda attacks him.
Right.
What was up with that?
So here we go. He didn't know. Quicksilver didn't know that Vision died. He died in Ultron. And then
right. And when he shows up in episode 5, he says, who's this guy?
Right.
So how should he have any idea that Vision is dead?
So Wanda hits him with her, with, you know, magic EMP blast. And do you think that she figures that she realizes that he's full of shit right there? Or do you think that she's just reacting?
My first thought was like, oh, she's mad that he mentioned it. He said that he's dead in front of the kids.
Right.
But now that you're saying it, yeah. That would more or less just immediately signal like, oh, this is not who he says he is.
Right.
He shouldn't have this information if everything else he's saying has been true.
Mm. And you know what? We hear in, I forget which episode it was in, but Monica say like, Wanda is a telepath, so she can read all of her thoughts. Shouldn't Wanda have known that Pietro knew more than he did or had some kind of inside knowledge before this came up? So is he blocking, is somebody protecting his mind or like creating an artificial mind? Like she should be able to see through him.
Right. Or is he not even here? Is he an illusion? Is he a synthesoid or something? Like,
does he interact with anybody other than the main characters?
Not that I recall, no. He, like, well, they together, like, cover the people in Silly String and take all their candy.
No, that's true.
But I don't think he speaks a word to anyone outside the main cast. So, in order to... Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, anyway, so, and moving on.
In order, I guess, to save Vision, she needs to put him back into the Hex, and so Wanda uses her abilities to, first of all, stop everything in town from whatever it was doing, and then she expands the Hex, like, it seems to be, like, a mile or more in every direction, and everyone in S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters, like, gets absorbed into the Hex. The S.H.I.E.L.D. headquarters gets turned from, like, a tent city operation space into a traveling circus, and the S.W.O.R.D. agents turn into clowns and other circus attractions, and only Hayward and the other main characters escape.
Well, not Darcy.
Darcy got pulled in?
Yeah, Darcy got caught trying to hack because Monica and Jimmy, they say, we're going to go on, and she says, there's one more firewall, I got to break in, so she stays behind. The S.W.O.R.D. operatives find her, and they cuff her to the car, and then when the Hex starts expanding, they all run, and she's cuffed to the car, and she...
Ah.
Yeah, so she gets absorbed.
That, Darcy's trapped in the Hex, I guess.
So she's going to get superpowers, right?
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, all the S.W.O.R.D. agents...
Only if she also leaves, you got to go in and out.
Right. Going through twice. So she's going to get half.
So now Vision's got super-duper powers now.
Yeah.
He went in and out three times.
He's practically Ultron.
And the episode ends with seeing, like, the Hex is now enormous and bright red. So it's pretty hard to ignore. Going to be hard to hide.
Yeah. But it's worth noting, it's bright red now. Mm-hmm. You know, it was invisible, and now it's red. There's some symbolism there. We can't ignore that.
So I gotta say, I liked this episode. It was probably of, like, you know, I consider 1 through 3 like the preamble to, like, the real story here. So maybe 1 through 3 is, yeah, that's like a single episode in my mind. And then 4, 5, and 6 now are like the real meat of the show. I would say 6 is probably my least favorite episode so far. It just seems like a lot of set dressing and a lot of wheel spinning, and on its own, not super entertaining to me. Like, I enjoyed Evan Peters and the stuff going on inside the Hex. The stuff happening with Monica and Darcy was, like, very boring and cheesy to me.
Kind of cliche.
Still a good episode, just, you know, just not my favorite so far.
Right. In a show where every episode is really good.
Yeah.
It's not that it was bad, it's just... I feel like they're putting the pieces where they need to be.
Right. Set dressing, I'm sure it'll pay off in the end. This might be retroactively a more important episode than it seemed.
Right. And I think I said it before on the podcast, I'm really excited to, before the final episode, rewatch the whole show.
Right. Yeah, we should do that.
We should do that.
Here's something. The next 3 episodes are going to be an hour long each, according to Feige.
Yay, so with 20 minutes of credits.
Right, that's 40 minutes of content.
Yeah.
Oh, I should say, I posted a poll on the WandaVision subreddit. I wrote here, will, in parentheses, the real Mephisto, so not like a joke one, appear at some point in the next 5 episodes of WandaVision. And I posted this last week. 81 votes for yes, Mephisto will appear. 58 votes for no, Mephisto will appear. And I voted no, Mephisto won't appear. But that's how the poll shook out. A good majority of people think Mephisto is coming.
So can I say the only way that I think they can shoehorn Mephisto into this would be?
Mm-hmm.
Is if it's revealed at the end that there's a bigger thing going on, bigger than Vision and Wanda, and this was just kind of like one little pocket of a bigger problem, and Mephisto is behind it, and the only reason he's in the show is because he's going to be the primary antagonist in Doctor Strange's movie.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with, after the end credits of the last episode of WandaVision, Mephisto going like, then I'll do it myself, and then he puts on the Mephisto gauntlet.
Mephisto gauntlet. Gotta collect the Mephisto stones. And then the Mephisto stones being, of course, the souls of young children.
Right. Yeah, that's fine. I'm cool with that. I would like this story to end using the elements it has already established.
Yeah. Agreed.
And no ass pulls. Like, if you want to have a Doctor Strange cameo, that would be fun. Like, maybe Doctor Strange shows up, he's like, don't worry, I got this, walks into the hex, and then, like, you know, immediately turns into a sitcom character.
He says, fine, I'll do it myself, and he grabs the Doctor Strange glove.
Right. Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. Ryan and I will be back later in the week for another episode of Barry, and then Chad and I will be back this time earlier in the week. It was Valentine's Day. I gave Chad the night off.
Much appreciated.
To see his wife. Pretty selfish, I thought, on his part, but it's okay. I'm over it.
Well, thank you, James.
Chad's got this idea of maybe doing a full series recap in prep for the last episode. I think that's a fun idea, so look forward to that too. Goodbye.
Goodbye.